Saturday or something, right? And then go right. Sunday to a totally different place and it, the same material and just eat shit all fucking night yeah. with that stuff, man.
No, it'll happen. And then you learn that, okay, why does this joke hit here but not here?
Yeah.
And then you mold it in a way where you get everybody to laugh at it.
Yeah.
Where it's not just for one room.
Like, yeah.
Yes, a lot of my jokes that I have now, when I first had them like 6 years ago,
yeah,
might have just started out as like a sentence, but now it's a full 5 minute thing.
Wow.
But dude, some of the beginnings of the jokes, like people would just yell stuff because it would just come off as like just straight up offensive. And I'm like, you're so new, you don't have the social clarity or like awareness to be like, no, no, there is funny in here.
Yeah, that's right.
They're like, no, you just suck. But you knew there was something in there.
You know what, though? Like, I started out kind of like most comics where, like, it was more, like, offensive than it, like, I was being more shocking than funny. Right. You know what okay. I mean?
Exactly. Like, I just need some kind of reaction.
Yeah.
That signifies I'm not bombing.
Yeah. So it was oohs and ahs more than laughs. And... Yeah. You know, like I'm fortunate in that I have a wife that like she's been with me, I've been with her for like 18 years, you know, so she's not scared to like tell me the truth of things, you know what I mean? And so she'll tell me like that sucks or like, you know, she'll say like you need to work on like more universal material and like make it to where like older people are laughing, younger people laughing, like, you know, because like Florida's so mixed with our audiences. So it's not always like unless you're going to like the villages or something like that, you're gonna get more of like a mixed crowd.
Oh, you'll know when it's not a mixed
crowd. Yeah.
No, but yeah, Florida is between like a room in Brooklyn, like an all black room, and then Florida, I think are like the two places where pretty much anything goes.
Okay, I like that I feel though.
Like or. Yeah, because there's so many, I mean, so many cities now, it's like, you just don't know. Like,
yeah.
I was telling you, I was terrified of that Utah show.
Oh, I bet, dude. I bet, man. I mean, you got like, that's Mormon country, bro.
I know, but everybody was so awesome.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh. But so that's the thing I've learned is like, also don't judge the audience.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I'd peek out and you just see a sea of white hair. I'm like, I'm going to bomb. I'm going to bomb. I'm going to bomb. Yeah, like, this is over.
My worst set ever was in a club with, like, it was my first club set, and there was not a lot of people there. It was probably, like, 10 people, and they were all over 65. And it was, like, right when I first started, and I had no business being there. Like, somebody canceled, and a friend invited me, and I was not ready. I didn't show up, like, oh, I'm going to do stand-up, you know? I just showed up, and they were like, hey, we had two guys cancel on us. Can you go up? And I'm like, okay. And yeah, it was 5 minutes of silence. Like,
how much time have you done, like prior to that?
Oh, that was like my fifth show.
And were the ten people that were there scattered sporadically throughout the room?
I will say it's the only club we have in Brevard County, so it's Gregory's is what it's called, and they have a big room, but this was like an off night. It was like a Thursday night, you know. Mm-hmm. And so they sold like 10 tickets, and the people were sitting towards the front, but they were spread out in the front. You know what I mean? So,
okay.
You know, it was like
a lot of gaps.
Yeah, it was some gaps. I got one laugh right when I got up there because I was like, I'd like to thank all my grandparents for coming or something stupid that. Yeah. And they kind of chuckled, and then it was crickets for 10 minutes or five minutes.
As long as you started strong.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a Scorsese film. Everything's good, and then it just comes crashing down.
That's exactly how it was. That's right. It was Casino, dude. That was my set.
Did your car explode? Yeah, when you got it?
Yeah. It was Joe Pesci stabbing a guy, dude.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, man.
You'll always remember the worst shows ever.
Oh, for sure.
But also the best ones.
Yeah. I'll say happily the best ones stick with me more. You know, that one just made me go, I need to really work on material.
Right.
And then this is a weird thing to say you get lucky about. In February, I got injured at work, and I haven't worked since then. And so my focus has been primarily like writing and stand up. And so I've had now like 5 months of just like intensive writing and doing stand up, hitting as many stages as I can. and
dude, that's a Florida come up
story. Oh, bro, it's it, I mean, I like
I was injured at work, and then I, you know, I had time to just
write. Yeah, just hit the passion hard.
That's,
you know,
awesome though, man. Maybe that's your blessing, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I'm now starting to go to the doctors and stuff like that, try to figure out what's going on, because workman's comp's like a ridiculous situation. So hopefully I want to work, but I'm super happy for this like time, man. You just try to like milk it for everything you can, man.
You need it, man.
Yeah.
You need it. And that's like, this whole thing is about buying your time back.
Yes.
Now that stuff's getting more expensive, it's like, oh, I got to find more ways to make money. And it just pulls you away from this.
Yeah. I didn't start doing stand-up till I was 36, man. So like, I felt coming into it like I was way behind. There was a bunch of dudes that started right around me, like right after me, you know? And I realized like within the first couple of months that I had way more life experience than these guys. I was able to come up with premises from my life, just, you know, that work and joke form that most people understand, because like most of the people buying tickets to comedy shows are like in their 40s, you know what I mean? Right. And they have kids and they have like spouses and they, you know, they have a lot of the same things I have. Yeah. Like I told my wife when I was 19, hey, I want to do stand up. And she was like, you should. And then we immediately had children, you know?
Wow.
And I
so
just,
then now you're getting back.
Yeah, now,
like, now you're starting.
Now I'm starting, right. Wow. And so I waited, like my oldest daughter just graduated high school. My younger one's like starting middle school. And so like I can get away for a while now. You know, it's not like they're self-sufficient. I don't have to wipe their asses anymore.
Yeah, you know? You're like, yeah, they're in the car.
Yeah, they're in the car. It's like, actually they are.
How much time have we done?
Nah.
They're one and two. I left the AC on.
That's right. That's right. It's all good, dude. They're strapped into their car seats. It's fine. I didn't even leave it on, man. Florida heat, dude. They'll take care of it.
Yeah. It's called a sauna.
Yeah. Dude, I went to a wedding one time. It was during the summer and it was like 100 something degrees, right? We've been in this church for like 25, 30 minutes, right? And they're starting to do their, like, the husband and wife. They've been together for a long time. They have 12 kids, all right? And they're just now getting married. Yes. Yeah, 12, all right? They're, like I said, maybe 5 minutes into the procession, and the wife looks over, and she goes, where's the baby? They had left the fucking baby in the car, dude. For real, dude. In, like, 100-degree weather for, like, a half hour. And we all just thought they were going to bring in a dead baby, like, during their wedding. And she wasn't. She was fine. Like, the little kid just came in, like, all right. She was sweaty, but. I was like, holy shit,
she
dude.
She wasn't responsive, but.
I thought for sure it was going to turn into, like, we got to call an ambulance and shit, dude.
Dude, that's nuts, man.
Yeah, dude. But when you have 12 kids, I mean.
You have 12 kids and then decide to get married.
Yeah, and you're going to forget one of them.
Yeah, like, oh, I think you're the one.
Yeah.
12 kids later. That, yeah.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I can laugh about it now in hindsight. No, in the moment, I was like, oh, shit.
No, that's terrifying, dude.
Yeah, man. That's Florida for
at
you.
At a main event.
Yeah, like yeah, that, the main event. That's right.
Like, I was at my grandpa's funeral and a lady. Where there was like a knock at the back door. I don't know why they had the state. It was like the altar.
Mm-hmm.
And then just like some door with like some like New York stairs. Like just like very, it looked like a set.
Weird.
Of like the Blues Brothers. Yeah. You know, like Universal.
Yeah.
And the lady just comes like barging in, hits the railing and just tumbles down the steps. She had to be like 90.
Just doing a double funeral.
dude, she face planted. Okay. And just. You know, like in Grand Theft Auto, where the pool of blood just gets bigger,
yeah,
bigger,
yeah,
very quickly.
That's what happened,
bro.
Oh,
and I'm
no!
Like maybe 8 years old. And yeah, that's what I said to my grandma. I tugged her and I said, "Are they gonna have another funeral?" And she actually laughed, but it was just like horrific, bro.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. I like that you made your grandma laugh in a horrifying situation. You're like, "Oh, I'm gonna be a stand-up when I'm older."
Yeah, it was just like. It's awful, dude. Everyone, like, literally the whole funeral was like record scratch, and we just watched a Lady X Games slam onto the floor.
Just Amazing Grace playing in the background.
Yeah. I guess that's, like, yeah, similar to the Burning Baby situation.
Jesus,
of, like,
yeah.
You're like, oh, this is a event interrupting.
It's about to be horrible. Yeah.
That's top 10 most white trash wedding moments of all time, I think. I think that's top 10.
It was pretty fucking bad, dude.
Who is this in relation to?
It was my wife's old boss.
Oh, fuck him then.
Yeah.
But, dude.
to be 12 kids deep at the altar of your wedding and then say, where's the baby?
Where's the baby? That's right.
Full sprint down the aisle.
Yeah.
Reverse.
It was like 6 months old too, dude. Like the kid was, it was new, you know? Like,
yeah, this was a 2019 model.
Yeah, exactly.
It was brand new.
It was brand new, dude.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I just had the 1 year anniversary, or not 1 year, excuse me. It was like 9 years ago. I saved a kid's life, right?
Yeah.
And it was the only hero moment I have in my life. I saw it because like my wife posted about it on Facebook the day it happened, and I was living in Washington State, and we were like going around this lake. You know, there was like a walking trail around this big ass lake, and these two kids were like, and the kids, they were like 13, you know what I mean? They were like swimming in the lake, you know, and like it's a pretty big ass lake, and this kid was like, I'm gonna swim all the way across it. And he got halfway and fucking.
Classic.
Dude just couldn't go any further, man. Oh my God. And he started screaming for help. And
Michael, help?
Yeah, just help, help. I thought he was fucking around, you know? So I'm like standing on the shore like, are you for real? He's just flailing, man. And I'm a good swimmer, so I just ran out, or not ran out, I swam out there and got him. And I told him when I, like, as I was swimming up to him, I was like, I'm going to grab you. I need you to go limp, bro. Like, just go limp. I'll drag you back to the shore. And I go, if you don't, I'm going to punch you in the face. And he's like, I will.
Yeah.
And then I grabbed him, and he like literally just, yeah. And I just like back stroked all the way back to the shore, man. That's
just, how embarrassing, bro.
Oh, man. he barely said thank you. He was like,
I mean, you told another man to go limp.
Yeah, that's true, dude. That's true. Yeah. I mean, I've said it before.
Or I'll punch you in the face.
Yeah, that's true. I did. Yeah. Yeah, I got him back there, and he was like, whew, and then just walked away.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
This fucking guy.
To just, like, almost drown yourself.
Yeah.
He put your life in danger, dude.
For sure, dude. He did. Yeah, but, you know, the best part about it is my kids were standing there. And so, like, they were like, our dad's a hero.
Yeah, they're like, you know? Oh, he would definitely get me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've had to save them from drowning.
Like, okay, I will clean my room. Yeah, now that I know he's capable of saving someone from drowning. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to have hero moments, but it's definitely good when, like, the family's watching, you know? Like, all right. Just so you know.
Yeah, you saw that?
This is what I'm capable of. But both my kids have almost drowned in different situations too. Cause kids are dumb, dude. So like when they're little, like they don't know better to like, oh, I'm going to just jump in the deep end.
Oh yeah.
You know, they don't know how to swim. Yeah. And then they panic.
The thing is though, like babies do know how to swim.
That's true. Yeah.
And then you just what? Forget.
I think so.
Remember your training. You yell at them.
I think babies don't know how to panic. So they like their natural instincts just kick in and they just like flip over and float. You know what I mean? But little kids.
That might be it. They're like. This is all we know how to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Little kids know how to panic, though, you know?
That's
so, like,
true.
As soon as they go into a situation, they go full on panic mode, and then it's just sink to the bottom.
There is something to be said for that.
Yeah, dude.
Just stay full baby mode.
Just stay.
Your whole life.
That's right, dude. And just never panic.
You're
dude.
All good.
You just fall off a cliff and go limp. That's what I'm going to say. If I ever have to save anybody, dude, that's my go-to move. Just, hey, go limp. They're like, I'm rock hard, dude.
Nah, stay limp.
Well, fear, allegedly, like, you can't get boners when you're scared. Huh. Like your dick shrinks into your body when you're scared. So,
think so?
Yeah. I don't know, man. Watch some horror movies that are like really
scary. What
about
like a fear erection? Maybe somebody gets.
Dude, there's probably like some psycho out there, dude. Oh, just yeah. like a fucking American Psycho, dude. You know, like that guy's like scared jerking off. You know,
it's like I'm so scared right now.
Yeah. He's like, ah. You know, there's some psychos out there.
All right, pop out of the bushes and scare me again. That's I'm right. about to finish.
I'm about to come.
There's some people that are, their wiring's a little bit off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay.
But I remember there was some movie my dad was watching when I was a kid. There's this movie, and I don't know what it was. This guy was like getting held at gunpoint by this group, right? And the guy goes, hey, don't shoot me. You know, like, please don't shoot me. And he goes, all right, get it up. And the guy's like holding a gun to him. He's like, get it up. He's like, if you get it up, I won't shoot you. And the guy's like,
What?
I swear to God, dude.
That's crazy.
It might have been a porno now that I'm thinking about it.
I don't know. Maybe you downloaded the wrong thing off LimeWire.
That's true. Yeah, exactly.
Like, I just wanted Lil Wayne's Kush, and that's the Get Hard edition.
Nah, we were Kazaa boys, bro. You know, like LimeWire was good, but Kazaa had less ads, dude.
That must be like, it must be before LimeWire.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. My brother was a tech nerd, you know, so like we had all the computers growing up and everything.
Okay.
We were like we had like one of those like CDRW drives that you had to buy. It was like a disk drive that was separate, but you could burn stuff onto disks with it.
Oh, right.
Like now it's just built into
every
computer.
You were like the cool kid.
Oh, dude, for sure.
When you could burn CDs,
dude. I would sell them for $10 a pop. Right. And I had like through Napster and all that stuff. I had like I had every song that anybody wanted. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like all the hot stuff, had it all. So people would just be like, hey, here's $10. They give me a list of 12 songs. I'd burn them a CD. Right. Dude, I was making hundreds of dollars a week off my school. And it didn't take me like because I already had the shit downloaded. So I just put it on the fucking CD and bring it to school.
Buy the stack of blanks.
Yeah, dude. I buy the 100 stack. Right?
Yep.
And I mean, my dad would buy it and I would just never reimburse him for any of it, dude. I was making like, there were some weeks where I'd pull a couple $100, man. And when you're in like ninth grade, like eighth grade, that's good money, dude.
Yeah, man. I remember having the VCR winder. Like, So as soon as the movie's over, you pop it out, put it in this thing, and it just. And you would, like, be so stoked that you could rewind a movie in, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah, dude. Well, I remember when they came out with the two tape VCRs. Uh-huh. So you could, like, you could take one tape and copy it while it's playing.
Oh, shit.
So.
That's next level.
It was pretty sweet, dude.
We might have.
So we would rent shit from Blockbuster and just copy every video.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, so
what a world.
Any cool ass movie, it was like, but because it was like, it was just like a regular VCR. It just had two tape decks. You know what I mean? And then my dad would just buy these like blank discs, dude, or blank tapes. Anything, dude. Like it was sweet. Yeah. We also had one of those like huge video recorders that you could put VHS tapes in and record straight to VHS.
What?
Yeah, dude. It was like,
I remember they were smaller, and then they became a disc, and now it's all
now digital. Yeah,
but yeah, I remember floppy disks, dial up, the phone on the wall, and then like within 3 years,
oh yeah, everything changed.
I had a Razor phone.
Yeah, I'm
like, what's happening?
That's right, man.
Yeah, because I'm 29, so it's just like, it was a weird, it was like the most rapid change.
Hell yeah.
As like a child. I can't imagine now.
Dude, my dad had a phone that plugged into his cigarette lighter in his car. And it was like a full, it was like a briefcase.
Oh, like an airstrike.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was like a briefcase plugged in the cigarette lighter. Unzip it. But then I also remember like the old Zach Morris.
Bravo Charlie 1. We are taking heavy fire from the flank.
Yeah. Those things look like you call aliens. You know what I mean? Like, they're huge, dude.
It goes off like freaking pulse frequency.
Yeah, and exactly. The sound it made when it was ringing was like deafening, dude.
Like, every time I open it, there's a saucer appears.
Dude. I'm pretty sure that's what drew the aliens to us, man. Is those fucking brick phones?
And what that was ET's phone.
That's right. That's phone and
like, yo, you stole my shit.
Man, that's
Yeah, I think technology should have stopped.
Yeah, you should like hard cap it, like well, because now we have smartphones and everybody just gets lost in that shit.
It's all just like let's change a few things. Have you noticed it's not lately? It hasn't been like there's not like any advancements. I mean, now people will be like, well, what about AI?
Yeah,
but it's like they just move buttons, or take shit away.
Yep,
and they go, whoa, like Apple took the home button away.
Yep.
And then people like, oh, it's so advanced now. It's buttonless. Like, dude, that's what I learned when I worked at Best Buy for like 6 months.
Yeah.
Was the cult following to some of these products.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, dude. That's why I don't suck that Apple dick, dude. I got a Samsung.
It's everything, though.
Yeah.
Like, they love it.
Oh, I know. It's, I'm the only one in my, like, my kids both have iPhones, my wife, mm-hmm. too, and they constantly, like, oh, you got fucking green text or whatever. like, Apple people will shame the fuck out of you, you know what I mean? Like,
it's the full divide.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the North versus South now, dude. It's like, it is, dude. That's right. The Civil War, bro.
Who do you think would win, honestly?
Samsung, dude.
If people with Apple phones had to go to war with people with Android phones.
The thing is, there's more of y'all, but there's a bunch of Apple users that are straight pussies.
But
dude,
I feel like a lot of people with Androids,
yeah,
are capable of
murder,
more destruction.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah,
like the guy in the trailer park doesn't have an iPhone. You know what I mean? He's got a Metro Metro Boost phone. Dude.
Chances are, if you have an Android, you have an arsenal.
Yeah, exactly, dude. You're more likely to have a couple AKs. You know?
I definitely, yeah. If Android and Apple fans went to war, Android fans would. It would be a slaughter.
Yeah, for sure. Like, if you polled school shooters, like, most of those guys are Samsungers, dude. You know what I mean?
They should start doing that. If they find his phone at the scene of the crime.
Yeah.
Like, it was a Galaxy.
Yeah. Oh, yep. This makes sense.
Yeah.
They're just going to start red flagging all the Android users in schools.
Oh, man.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I feel like a lot of people with the iPhone just... I don't know. Yeah, like you said, it's a bigger army.
Yeah, yeah. But big isn't always better.
That's true.
You know, that's true. There's a lot of soft Apple users, is what I'm
saying.
That's
right, yeah. You know? We're getting there.
Yeah.
I was trying to get at that.
There's guys like most Apple users wearing khakis during the day, you know? Right. So.
Because, yeah, usually when you get out of prison, you don't get an iPhone.
No, dude. You go straight to Boost Mobile.
Your first phone back is like your boy's like, hey, man, like, you know.
Yeah.
They're not like, yo, I got you on my family plan. Yeah. iPhone 14.
Yeah. They're like,
we got three free months of Apple TV, dude. That's right, dude.
We got to see how long you're going to be out before we get you an iPhone, you know? Yeah. Like,
that's how you can tell how long someone's been in prison. If you hand them an iPhone and they go,
what is this?
Like, oh, shit. All right,
bro, you were in.
Yeah. Let's get you the flip phone.
That's right. He's like, I haven't had a cell phone since the Razor, bro.
Yo, when I robbed that bank, the Sidekick just came.
That's right, dude. That thing's sweet, though, man. I wanted a side. My buddy had a Sidekick.
It was a giant piece of shit.
It was, but I loved it. But it was so cool, man. It was like having a switchblade when you were a kid. You know what I mean?
Anything
like,
that flipped open, the phone that flipped open with the keyboard.
Yeah.
Like when they actually added the keyboard. I remember texting button style.
Yeah.
Like it just felt awesome.
It did feel good.
Now texting is just... Yeah, oh, I got to know.
If you have a video playing, you can't even feel the buttons. You know, like, you know how, like, when you push buttons on the even the screen, it like vibrates a little, you know, or whatever.
I might go back. If they make a phone with a full keyboard.
Yes, dude.
Like,
well, I think you could still get like a BlackBerry. You know?
I had a CrackBerry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was like the prepaid.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
I actually really enjoyed it.
Were you fresh out of jail, dude?
Damn near. That was when I first got back to Florida from California, and I was like, I don't need an iPhone. I hate social media. This was before I did comedy.
Yeah.
I don't need social media. It's all bullshit. I got like a little CrackBerry, but it had the trackball on it.
Hell yeah, dude.
So I could just move around and select stuff. And hell I was like, dude, this is all you need.
That old school texting was shitty, though. I mean, where it's like you had to hit four buttons for one letter. That was horrible.
With the mini keyboard.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Game changer.
Yeah, that was... I'm pretty sure that was the Sidekick, the first one. And it was either Sidekick or BlackBerry that started that, and they were like, all right, this is it. And then technology just boomed so fast that they just jumped right over that to touch screens. Yeah, it was – I'm with you. I feel like we should peek it out right now. That's it. Just no more. Yeah. You know, like we've got everything we need right now, you know.
It's just too much.
Yeah.
Like too much is coming at you. The more – like, I go into a lot of people's homes now, like, everyone has the Roomba, and I'm like, just does that even work?
Barely.
Properly?
I have three big dogs in my house, you know, and we have one of those. It wasn't a Roomba because we don't have Roomba money yet.
Right,
you
know,
like, it was a Bob Sweep is what it's called.
Okay.
You know, like, we got Bob Sweep money.
Okay. Bob Sweep.
And that thing was it works shitty.
But I'm just like, the robots are slowly coming.
Yeah.
Everything's, it's starting with the disc vacuum cleaner.
For sure. And now they got the lawnmowers too. They got like the robot lawnmowers.
Yeah, when I was in, I first saw that like 6 years ago. I was in France and they had a bunch of those. And I was like, oh, it's because they don't have Mexicans.
Yeah. Yeah, Spaniards over there, they're classier.
They're like, we got to figure out
yeah.
what to do.
Yeah. Nobody's trying to leave Spain. You know what I'm saying? Like, like, because Spain's nice as fuck, man. Have you ever been to Mexico?
I haven't, dude. I really want to go, man.
Okay. It's like, a good time.
Yeah.
But it's depending on where you're at, you know? It's like right. every, like, have you ever been to like a third world country? You know what I mean?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
I spent a lot of time in L.A.
Yeah. Around the coast is real fun. Country. Yeah, yeah, for sure, dude. Like, you're East L.A., dude. That's you've been to Mexico dude. If you've been to East L.A.
Just the beaches now.
Yeah.
It's, like, crazy.
And I mean, I haven't been there since, like, the pandemic, you know?
Yeah.
And I know it's changed a lot, like, the homeless situation and all that. But I went there in 2016, and, like, we went.
Okay.
We stayed in Anaheim, so not really L.A., but we went all over, man. It was really nice then, man. And like we went down to like Newport and like
oh yeah, that's so fucking super nice, dude. Over
there. It's so yeah. nice, man. I was like walking around like this is fuck. If I lived in L.A., this is where I'd live.
Yeah, like, no, that's like south. That's yeah. like down by the beaches. That's,
yeah,
that's a different world, man.
Well, then I was looking at
there is crazy.
I was looking at property costs around there, and it's like, dude, like a 1-bedroom apartment back then was like $3,000. You know,
oh, yeah.
like, it's so expensive.
Yeah, now it's even crazier.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, it's a beautiful. Like, I love California, man.
Yeah,
but some of it you just drive through, you're like, this is a hellscape.
Yep.
Like, what's happening here?
I remember, like, I lived in Sacramento when I was a kid.
Okay.
And I remember we'd like if we were gonna go have like a fun day, we'd go to like San Francisco and stuff. And I remember one time we took the wrong bridge and went into Oakland, and I was like, "Oh, this is this is also California, dude." You know, yeah. like this is crazy.
I guess that's everywhere though, man.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking like Florida.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's the same exact
for
way.
Sure.
You're like, "Oh shit!" Yeah. Back on the exit. Right?
Yeah. Like, oh no.
When yeah, I'm getting back up.
I went down to Miami to do a show like three weeks ago, dude. And I was like, I was driving through. I was like, "Where the fuck is this show, dude?" Like, this is. I'm in Little Havana. Like,
dude, Miami goes from like insane wealth to just like. We got to get off this street.
Yes, dude. Yeah. I remember, like, when we were walking down the street. At first, I was driving through, like, these, like, very rough neighborhoods. And then we finally got to, like, the street that the show was on, you know? Mm-hmm. And I immediately shifted. I was like, oh, this is nice. Like, you know, it's just guys smoking cigars with, like, Cuban music playing in the background. Right, you know, that's right. Not bad.
Some flower shirt.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Like, a fedora hat, yeah. You know? Yeah. But it was like everybody, like that, like
right.
The stereotype held true, man. Like that was, they were like, this is Cuba.
Yeah, no, it's basically, yeah, like a whole, I don't know, Miami. I couldn't get the feel for Miami when I was there. Cause it was just like, I feel like you really do have to know Spanish.
Yeah.
Like if I knew Spanish, I'd probably be like, this is awesome.
That's what, America's Got Talent is now, right?
It's crazy, man. No, America's Got Talent, you just have to have, like, one leg and a sad story.
That's what I mean, man. Yeah. It's like at what point does it become, go from, like, a talent show to, like, the Special Olympics of talent shows, you know?
Yeah, they're just like, this guy lost his whole family in a house fire, and he's going to juggle.
That
they're
is.
Like, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
He's going to juggle his family's ashes.
Oh, the balls. Have the ashes of his family in them.
That's right. And then he ends up dropping and them all over the
stage. It's a B-roll of people crying in the crowd.
And they golden buzzer,
yeah,
dude.
And they, sell, yeah. And they run a fucking Geico ad and it's over.
Yeah, dude.
And that's TV in America now.
For sure, dude. Yeah. But if you're like outside of America watching it, they're like, man, there's a lot of, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to lie, dude. I've eaten a few dinners watching Wipeout.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that show?
Yeah, of course.
It's still on, actually.
Is it really?
Yeah.
When that show first came out, we also would, like, because that was, we like, something we could watch with dumb. The kids, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, and just watch these dudes get fucked up, yeah. Dude.
I mean, it is entertaining, but then, like, you watch it, and you're just like, wow, I could be doing so much more with my time.
Yeah, I agree. It's, my wife is a reality TV junkie.
Oh,
like,
no.
She doesn't watch regular TV. Like, you know, if I'm like, hey, babe, let's watch Game of Thrones, she's like, no. Nah, I want to watch The Bachelor. You know, like, So I get a lot of time to write. You know,
people get bit by those shows.
Yeah, man, dude,
and they just got to keep watching them.
It's true, man. They I like it when they have like they all have the same sound effects. You know what I mean? Like it's wow or something like that. Like something bad's happening. You know, and like just fake laughter sometimes. Yeah, exactly. It's like the same 10 sound effects for every single show. Yeah. And it all just seems so, for it to be reality, it all seems so like orchestrated.
Oh, it's because it all is now.
Yeah.
You know, like the amount of people that think Impractical Jokers is like.
Like the reactions.
Actually pranking people. Like people are sitting there for an hour. It's like, oh, we got you. You sat there for an hour.
They're the same people that think those street magicians have real audience people. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way.
Yeah, like, no, it's like all—it's all a casting call. Hey, $100.
Yeah, I know because my kid gets them. You know, like she gets those casting calls all the time, dude. You know,
a little extra $50.
Yeah,
you know, stand here, comes with a sandwich.
That's right. Just react. That's
they
all you
need. A body.
Yeah, exactly.
And they call it, oh, I'm a background actor.
That's yep.
No, you're homeless.
Yeah. I can't really talk about the homeless people because I look like a homeless guy. You know, like if I didn't have nice clothes on, bro.
Oh, dude, you pull it off.
Yeah.
You know, I like you, man, because you were always like, you're always like the yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Yeah, dude.
No matter what, dude, like the ultimate therapist.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, man, you'll figure it out, man.
Yeah, man. It's all good. I've always been like an upbeat person.
I know.
Like right? I'm not a.
I feel that.
Like I'm not a person who like struggles with depression and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So. Even when like bad stuff happens, I try to figure my way through it, you know?
You baby it, dude.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yeah. Just, I go limp. Exactly. That's exactly what happens. I just go limp. It'll figure itself out.
That's incredible.
Yeah. But my wife is like a stressor. She like stresses about everything. Okay. So I let her do stress about it, you know?
Got you.
Like me.
Well, that's your yin and yang.
Yeah, for sure.
You got to have someone that's like, you know?
Yeah.
If you both were like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Who knows where you'd be.
Yeah,
you know?
Dude. We'd be homeless right now. Yeah. Because I live my life with very little responsibility. For as much as I have and I do and stuff, right. Like, I let my wife stresses about it all. And
but you just don't let it get to you.
Like, no.
Yeah. You really have to look at everything like, what's the next best move?
Yeah. Exactly. That's for sure.
And not get like weird about, you know, let your like emotions.
Yeah, well,
consume
also,
you.
It gets like. I mean, I feel it sometimes for sure. You know, like,
oh, yeah.
Like I'm on a show right now that we do weekly, right? Mm-hmm. And it's sort of a copy of another show.
Okay.
Right, and it's the show that it copied is like huge. It's like the biggest comedy show in the world.
Oh, okay.
All right, and the guy who runs this show was saw a video of the big show talking about this little show that I'm on.
Oh, really?
And was like, basically like, we're going to sue their asses. And anybody who's associated with that show can't do this show.
Oh, shit.
And so now I'm like nervous to even do this little show. Cause eventually like I want to go out and be able to do the bigger show too. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right.
But so now I'm like really nervous about it. Like, I don't know if I even want to be associated with this. And then he took the guy who runs the little show took the clip of them talking about it and then put his logo all over it for the little show and posted that online, man. And it makes me nervous, dude. Like, that's
yeah. Well, I mean, if you feel it in your gut, like, that's the thing with the internet and everything now is like you do kind of have a social credit score,
yeah.
So it's like don't get associated with that because I've seen a comic who was very funny, and he used to open for, like, a massive comedian, like, Private Jet here and there.
Yeah.
The big comedian that he used to open for just was, like, the biggest piece of shit to everyone around him. Kind of, like, once he got big,
yeah,
was like, fuck all you motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You know? And then as he slowly started to not be the big comedian anymore.
Yeah.
Now, my buddy that's coming up, he's just guilty by association.
Yep.
Just because he was his opener.
Mm-hmm.
Now they look at him as the same piece of shit. And it's like, you know, he still gets spots and he's making a living doing it.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, once you get that, once you get your name, you know, with some mud on it, it's like, it's not good, dude.
Well, like, so, I initially was like, oh, this is fine because this is like a small local show. Like, it's not going to, they're not going to know about this. But also, like, when you're doing comedy shows, there's only so many types of comedy shows that you can have. You know what I mean? Right. And so I'm like, oh, well, like having a show that's similar, it's like how every city has a roast battle. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it might be called something different, but it's all roast battles. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And so I'm like, okay, this is something that happens in comedy. And then as I got further into it, I kind of realized like comedy's all about authenticity and like being new and having new ideas and that kind of thing.
Right.
And I was kind of like, maybe this isn't the best option, you know? And I don't know, man. I'm real, like, that's the stuff that stresses me out. Like, I'm conflicted as fuck about this. Yeah,
man. Well, if you know what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I feel like. Yeah.
So if it's walk away, then walk away.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I have to agree. I think
so. Especially if it's like an exact copy of something else.
It's
that's the worst thing with comedy is like, and so many people now, and I fell victim to it. When I lived in LA, is like you start looking at everything as a formula,
yes,
as an algorithm, and if you're just trying to copy a winning formula, then you're not being true to yourself,
exactly.
And it's like you're just, you know, that's what I think when they say like selling your soul. It's not like, oh, here, devil, give me, you know, a Bugatti. It's like you're selling your soul as in like you're not being true to yourself.
Yes.
So yeah, you know what to do, man.
Yeah, man. I think I do. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I like building our local comedy scene where we're at. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, I try to help as much as I can, and you know, and like our scene is small but mighty. You know what I mean? Like, we have a lot of good comics. Most of us all kind of started around each other, and so we like help each other out. And I mean, you've done shows over with us. Oh, you know,
no, like you guys have it going on, man. Because it's like it's same with Orlando. It's like there's not very many clubs, but you just got to find spots.
Yeah.
And sometimes turn them into comedy clubs.
Yep. Well, like that bar that we have, Muggsy's, like you went there, like that place is pretty fucking fire.
It's fun as hell, man.
For open mic.
I got to start getting back there, dude.
It's actually not an open mic anymore. Oh, like no? This past week was the first week. I mean, if you come out, they'll put you up. It's not like,
okay.
It's like Moon Room. You know what I mean? Where it's kind of like, you. They're closing it off a little bit so that some of the riffraff gets out of there, you know?
You gotta kind of have some crowd control.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there would just be some people that came every week and then they'd walk like 5-6 people, you know? Yeah. And it's like, ugh.
I know. Because they're like, oh, I was jerking off my dog. Yeah, it's like, bro, you're going to talk about this every Tuesday?
Yeah. We had this one lady that would come up and talk about her pussy cheese, dude. Like, what the fuck?
Hey, there's so much you have to listen to, to even like rise at this level.
Oh, dude!
Like the amount of open mics that I've sat through, and just like, I don't know, it's definitely scarred my brain.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
that's what I realized early on, though, is that if you just have like okay jokes at an open mic, you're good. You know what I mean? Like, you don't even have to be the best comic in the room. You just got to be better than the people
If you're structured.
Yeah.
If you have a setup punch.
Exactly.
A sense of direction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you, like, it's weird, like, when people first start, like some people just go, I'm just going to go up and talk, you know? And it's like, you're not that interesting. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's like, frustrating that, like, those are the people that, like, when I'm hosting an open mic, like, 2.5 minutes in, I'm lighting them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to sit
the sheer
shit.
Confidence of someone who's just like, I'm just going to go up there and do my thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
You don't have a thing.
What is that?
I wouldn't wish an open mic on my worst enemies, dude. You know?
I don't think so either.
And the fact that we sit through them is a true testament to how bad we want to do comedy.
If I had the United States nuclear codes, and they were like, you need to give us the codes or we'll torture you.
Yeah.
And then I was like, nah, I'm a super soldier. I'll never talk.
Yeah.
And then they just put me in an open mic and they go, you're going to sit here There's back to back to back to back open mics 24/7. I would immediately go 5, 8, 1, 16.
I'd be like, just launch it at Copper Rocket.
Yeah. Bro, Copper Rocket is a fucking disaster.
Yeah. We have one of those now too. We have a bar called Chumley's, and it's got an open mic, and it's outside on the patio. Oh, it's the bar's cool.
It's a patio mic.
It's a patio mic, dude. There you go. And so we just did the first one. When Raw Comedy closed off Muggsy's for open mic,
okay.
They started a second open mic right around the corner, and it's bad, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't do that anymore, man.
Yeah.
I can't sit through them.
I'm with you, man. I'm like, once you start getting into like clubs and like get in front of real audiences and stuff, and you start having like success in those situations, it's really, really tough.
Yeah.
To go out and do shit like that, you know,
right.
Like those little five person audience rooms and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're good, but they're not like they're good for when you're first starting and trying to develop material and stuff. But yeah, it's tough, man.
Yeah. I feel like I don't think I do mics anymore, but I'll do like unpaid spots where they're like,
yeah,
like Moon Room is probably my favorite.
Chef's kiss,
because you can
dude.
Really just try shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And people are receptive.
Yeah. Once I started doing the club stuff, I started treating Moon Room like an open mic. Because before I was treating it like, I'm going to showcase my best material, you know?
Right.
And now I typically go up and like tell two jokes that are good just to get them on my side, and then just go into new shit and just see what happens, you know? That's outside of just like that. I'm a whore, man. So outside of the adoration that you get from doing stand up, like the building material is my favorite part, you know?
That's what's fun, man. Like really building the catalog.
Yeah.
You look at it as like an album.
Yeah.
Like it's a lot of fun.
I also feel like the further you get into this, the more like bombing doesn't affect you as much.
Right.
I mean, when you're like obviously like getting paid, it's a big showcase. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of good comics on it. That'll fuck with you. You know what I mean? But going out like at Moon Room or something like that and bombing, like, all right. you know, like, all right, that was four new jokes there. So
it's a sense of freedom too.
Yeah.
When you're just like, oh, right.
Yeah.
That didn't work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I did a show last night. If I would have bombed at that show, I would have been sad, you know? But, you know, I did three shows. I literally did two shows the night before and bombed both of them. you know, didn't bother me at all.
Damn.
But
yeah, you learn a lot though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't had a good bomb in a while, thank God. But like, yeah, you'll have jokes that don't hit, but like an overall bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It's been a while. I think it's like you know what's funny, it's just like how long can you keep it funny.
But that's the thing, is like the shows where I'm bombing are shows where I'm not doing tested material. Like it's just shit I'm working out, just trying and stuff. That's why I don't really care. So because I would never do that on a paid showcase, you know?
Okay, yeah, so that's not really bombing then.
Yeah. Yeah, it's doing stand-up with zero laughs, you know, or very little, you know?
Yeah, no, I discredit if it's new material and it bombs, I don't call it a bomb. Yeah.
That's you protecting your ego.
Yeah, I'll be like, yo, this will be funny in 6 months.
Man, I don't love anything that I write enough to stick with it. Like if I go up and I eat shit with it like two or three times, I just get rid of it. Like,
yeah, maybe in like 2-3 years, that stuff that's not working,
yeah,
will somehow bridge the gap between a new and old joke.
Yes.
And you're like, wow, now it's funny because it's like this perfect transition.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of that where you just have, it's almost like just like parts of a car.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. They're good parts.
Yeah.
But you're like, you don't need them right now.
Yeah.
And then you'll be like, oh shit.
Yeah. And then you put it all together.
Yep.
So that's happened with like a couple of my jokes, you know, cause I'm a setup punchline guy.
Right.
So the jokes that I have that are longer form are either like where I took two jokes and smushed them together, or I just did them so many times on stage that I just start ad-libbing on them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then as you know, as something works, you try that a few times and it keeps working, and then you add something else to that, and it's just like, right. I mean, I'll long form write stuff, like everything out and stuff. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't, it doesn't work for me that way as much as just like testing the material over and over and then like adding to it. And
yeah, no, sitting down and writing, I don't know too many people that are capable of doing that. And usually people that are like, oh, I sit down and write out all my stuff.
Yeah.
They usually like suck.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I do write. I write all my jokes on my phone and on paper. Yeah. But that's just in case like the phone goes away. Like, all right, I have a backup, you know?
Yeah, I just have like sentences or like bullet points.
Yes. Yeah.
And then like this, this, and this. And then, yeah, you have like kind of the system in your head of how it's going to go.
Yeah.
And then you just hope that you can keep building from different parts.
Yeah.
But it's all just repetition, man.
That's 100%.
That's why I wish Orlando had, they just, you think Orlando would have like 12 comedy clubs.
Yep.
Why do they have one?
Like it's, yeah, one? But Bonkers and the Improv, right? Yeah. And even Bonkers is kind of.
But Bonkers is just in random spots.
Yeah.
Like that's the other thing. Bonkers is just a bar show.
Yeah.
Series.
Yeah. That they call a comedy club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bonkers Comedy Club. Why is it in Twisted Root Burger then?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, we also have a Bonkers in Cocoa, but I don't even, is that some bar called Murdoch's? You know what I mean? I don't even count that. Our only one is Gregory's, and it's above a restaurant. You know what I mean? It's like just a big room above a restaurant with a stage. You know?
You guys don't have like a Melbourne Improv or?
No, dude. We don't have anything. Like, so even the frustrating thing about Gregory's, it's our only comedy club, right? And they use a booking service for features and headliners, mm-hmm. and the host is booked by the same guy who books the Orlando Improv. So, like, we don't even have a local guy booking that. And so unless you take the improv class or, like, know him personally, like, I can't host a show at my local comedy improv club.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't because I don't have those connections yet. Oh, you know? And that's like in my town, dude. Like I can do any show in my town, no problem, except that shit. So
you know what's funny though is like you get good and then you go to a different city and mm-hmm. then doors just open up to
it's
you.
It's so but weird.
Like your hometown. See, I never started in Florida.
Yeah.
But I felt it like when I moved to New York,
mm-hmm.
it was that like I started there, so yeah. There was this aura, like, you know, 2-3 years later of, like, oh, yeah, he's, like, a New York guy. But then as soon as I went to L.A., everyone was like, oh, who's, like, the new guy?
Yeah.
But it's just, like, yeah, wherever you start, there's, mm-hmm. like, no love.
I know, man. It's so
until
weird.
You come back. Yeah.
Dude, I just this month got booked on shows locally,
uh-huh.
and I haven't done local, like, shows in, like, Since the Beachside Retro show you and I did. Wow. So like December.
Because I've seen you all over Orlando.
Yeah, well I have to, man.
You're out of town.
I don't have the option. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
so weird.
Yeah, man. Dude. I go up to Madcaps a lot. I go to Lakeland and Winter Haven. Is that what it is? Winter Haven. Yeah, yeah.
LOL.
LOL. Yeah, in Orlando.
That's a really nice club.
Well, that's an hour. You want to smoke something? You've seen him perform all over LA. Give it up for Sean Madden, everybody.
What have we got here? A fucking comedian.
This joke's not gonna go well.